Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. We're doing live radio right here for 24 and a half more minutes. And then we'll go to Dr. Alistair Begg for his program, his Bible teaching program that we have each weekday here on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. You know, according to the Babylon Bee, if you present the gospel in a Scottish accent, you have 27% more people accept Christ.
Well, then that's what I'm going to start using.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll start working on it.
Scottish accent.
I'll have to either listen to Alistair Begg sermons or Sean Connery movies. Sean Connery. Hey, Junior.
The Scottish do sound better when they're teaching the Bible, I think, a lot of times.
Or they sound better or British, just about anything.
British. Know? British. I wouldn't sleep on the British accent. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the French accent. I wonder if they want to hear the gospel presented in the French accent.
Do you think people
French people do?
Well, yeah. You think people in Scotland and England, Great Britain, do you think they hear accents from the U.S. and they go, man, those people sound so smart?
Yeah, no, it's, no, I can guarantee you no.
You don't think that's true?
You don't think they...
It didn't work in reverse?
It does not.
I don't think they like hear someone with a Boston accent.
Right.
You know, I'm going to park the car.
Right.
And go, wow, those guys sound so smart.
They're still bitter over 1776. They're not going to say anything good about us.
Yeah. I do. UK is that's bucket list stuff. I'd like to visit the UK.
Yeah.
I'd like to go there before I went to Italy or Greece, where, you know, my heritage is.
Why is that, Ed?
I don't know. I just have always liked the UK.
History all over Europe, but.
That's true.
I've never been to the UK either. I have been to Italy and Germany, and Greece and Germany, but
I've never been to the UK either.
Yeah,
my parents have, but I've been to Switzerland, Italy. Got to do that again.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was awesome. Switzerland's the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
But no disrespect to what we have in there here in the U.S., and I haven't seen the whole U.S.
Yeah. But, well, when you go next year, your plan is, anyway, God willing, you get to go out west to the Grand Canyon.
Let's see some.
There's some beautiful land out there, Moab.
Saying is true. Every place has its own beauty, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God created a beautiful world.
Right. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. So, but yeah, Switzerland, just absolutely breathtaking.
Yep.
And my grandmother on my dad's side is from Northern Italy. She was blonde haired, blue eyed. My grandfather was from Naples, olive skin, dark hair.
Right.
I mean, yeah, dark hair. So I do have, you know, family up in the Alps region, whether they, you know.
You got cousin Heidi?
I don't know. Well, if we ever go up there, I'm going to try to track them down. Yep. Hey, we'd like to come stay at your house.
It used to be, I don't know if it is anymore, but it used to be the world's longest tunnel went under Mont Blanc from France into Italy.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
I've been through that. A long
My parents
tunnel.
Have been all over Italy three or four times. They loved it.
Yeah.
You know, before my dad retired, but they loved traveling in Europe. All right, yeah, I'm planning on going out west. I can talk about that more later. By out west, I mean we're going to go to the Grand Canyon. This is this time next year for our 40th. Grand Canyon, Moab, the National Arches, and all that territory there.
Yeah.
And then go into the mountains where it's 72 degrees today in Telluride.
Yep.
Colorado.
That's pretty country.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not the Alps.
Durango.
Yeah.
Yep.
My wife asked, she was looking up Durango last night, and they were giving some kind of a travel advisory.
For what?
For Durango, for like, be careful, watch your back.
Like for crime?
Yeah.
It's on the western slope. It's not really part of the Front Range.
Anyway, I'm not besmirching Durango. I'm just telling you what she was reading last night. She was researching our trip for next year. Anyway, looking forward to that. You know, you can ride a train from Durango to Telluride through the mountains. That sounded fun. Although I don't know if I want to ride a train for like 2-3 hours and then turn around and ride it right back.
Oh no!
Huh?
That doesn't sound fun.
But I was thinking, do you think I should let Allison ride it and I drive the car, pick her up at the train station?
I think what I think just don't matter, Tim.
I don't think that's very romantic. Do you think that's right on my part? You're on your 40th anniversary, and you tell her you take the train, I'll pick you up at the train station when you get there?
Do you want a 41st anniversary? It's up to you. It's entirely up to you.
I don't know. Maybe we get an Uber back. Get an $500 Uber. On an Uber. Or a Lyft. All right. So you're right, though. To your point, there's a lot of America yet to be discovered.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a
big country.
You've been to Niagara Falls?
I have not.
I told you the one time I've been to Niagara Falls.
Oh yeah.
The weather was fogged in. So we get to the part where you observe I couldn't see anything.
Oh no.
It was all fog. I could hear it. I could hear the falls.
But you couldn't see
it? I could not see more than 10 feet.
Right. What had you done to offend God?
Yeah.
It wasn't me, it was the people I was with.
Oh. That's what it was.
Did y'all draw sticks? Draw.
No, to find out who did it?
Who was the center?
Yeah, then we threw him over the falls and everything cleared up.
That can't happen to me at the Grand Canyon. Tell me that can't happen to me at the Grand Canyon.
No.
It probably depends what time of year.
Very unlikely to get fog.
Yeah.
This was winter. July, August. I'm not gonna run into fog at the Grand Canyon.
I don't
fog,
think so.
Man.
Huh? I don't think
this
so.
This was in winter. We had gone to Toronto for a conference, and it was wintertime. And so he said, let's go over. We're close. And just a bunch of guys from the church.
You didn't go on the Maid of the Mist?
Yeah.
All right. So, Steve, what's your first news story?
I want to go back to China, if I could. I know you guys
are talking about
the—
Can't get enough China.
Lousy. Yeah. Communist Chinese.
CCP. Anyway, you guys were talking about China being invested or putting money into our public schools here. Well, the FBI and the CDC have found and raided a secret Chinese COVID biolab that's located in the city of Reedley, California.
Where's that?
Well, it's where my son was born, number one.
Wow.
Yeah, it's east of Fresno. And it is about 30 miles east of Lemoore Naval Air Station. Just so happens. And the building was said to be empty. It was listed as an empty building. And if you look at it, it looks very unsafe. If you're going to put chemicals in there, it didn't look like it had any kind of biosafety kind of anything. But here's what they found in there. They found bioagents that included malaria, rubella, HIV, chlamydia, E. coli, streptococcus pneumonia, hepatitis B and C, and herpes. These were communicable.
So basically,
diseases.
They all got this from the cast of Jersey Shores,
and then flew it over to California. Well, but the thinking is, of course, being so close to a military base. But what are they doing these things in here anyway? Why is China?
Were these just
here?
Being stored there, or was there any kind of experiments conducted?
They were genetically engineering some of these things in mice.
Oh man! Listen, first of all, let me just say this: since we have been hard on the Department of Justice, good on the FBI.
Yeah.
All right, for ferreting this out. All right, so my hope is that the average rank-and-file FBI agent and the field offices around the country are doing the best they can to keep us safe. So when we bust the chops, so to speak, of the Department of Justice and the FBI in general, we're talking about the political appointees that are using the Department of Justice for the benefit of the Democratic Party and the person in the White House. But good on them for doing this, for finding this out. But this is why I said in the last segment, I trust nothing about the communist Chinese. I do like Chinese food. I think the Chinese people, which was the case with the Soviet Union, probably are just trying to make a living like everybody else and stay alive. But those people in charge across the Pacific, they want to do us. They do not want us to be a competitor. Let's put it that way, militarily.
And the reason I mention the Lemoore Naval Air Station is because the thought is that if they're going to unleash something, they unleash it on the our fighting men and women, and it degrades our ability, if there were to be an armed conflict, to engage.
I think Tim mentioned this before the break. I don't think they want to destroy the United States. That would be an incredibly difficult thing to do unless you try to catch us napping and nuke the country. Detonate an EMP, a nuke above ground. I do think they want to weaken us to the point, or catch us not paying attention to where we surrender the Western Pacific to them. And that's why these kinds of things that we've talked about on the program might be initiated. There's no telling who or what has come across that southern border. With it being so porous under the Biden administration, we hear stories from those who are keeping track, members of Congress, so on and so forth, that there are plenty young Chinese men of military age who've come across that border. Who knows whether there are sleeper cells and what they would do if there was conflict, say, over Taiwan.
Some people that I talk to do say that there is a possibility of a hot war, armed conflict. But I tell you, the thing that's really the most threatening, I think, between China and here is that China's crippling us economically. If they decide that they want to start, and then they are now doing business with some of the other countries in Chinese yen instead of dollars.
Right.
That's to
elevate themselves as a world power, right, and
undermine the United
so
States.
So now we need to move off China because this depresses Tim. So he said that he was depressed.
Well, I don't want to depress him.
No, I'm just listening to you fellas. Okay.
All right. So
you like Chinese food, do you?
Ed? Oh, I do love Chinese food.
What's your favorite Chinese food, Ed?
General Tso's chicken, which I used to pronounce.
What now?
My wife mocked me when I used to pronounce it General Tso's. That's how it's spelled.
Good reason.
TSO. It's General So.
Is that what is that? What do they do to it, to the chicken, to make it so delicious?
You really want me to?
Well, I'm I haven't eaten that.
It's chicken. It's got some kind of fried stuff on the outside. It's got some nice kind of really stuff is bad for you on the outside. It's delicious.
Not recommended by your doctor?
No, I don't tell my doctor when I go there. He says, you've been eating right? Oh, yeah. I just had chicken today.
You didn't tell him what kind of chicken,
no.
How the chicken was cooked.
That's right.
Deep fried.
Chicken, yes, sir.
I got a recipe here for General Tso's chicken.
Is it Cho? How do you pronounce it?
Tso. I don't know.
Okay.
General
Tso.
Excuse me, fellas. And I know I sound general. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. General.
Like G-E-N-E-R-A-L?
Military general.
Okay. So this particular dish is named after a Chinese general.
That's correct.
I gotcha.
Anyway, it includes tomato paste, some water, some cornstarch to thicken it, some soy sauce, dark and light, rice vinegar, and chicken stock.
All right.
That's the sauce.
And this,
those ingredients...
Folks, this is the kind of stuff you can't get anywhere else on a radio.
Or enough of it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on from Chinese food.
Yep.
What's the next story, Steve?
All right. Good news, perhaps.
I think we should compliment ourselves about on this show is staying on message.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Sticking to the script, just boom, 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 boom.
We've wandered a lot today.
Yeah.
I will
Monday.
Confess that.
And we're delirious from the heat.
Wandered.
As I want.
You know, it happens.
That's right.
What song are you singing there, Steve? Not to get diverted again.
It's a Christmas hymn.
Christmas.
I wonder, as I wander out under.
Oh, you mean we're wandering.
Never heard of it.
Wandering.
You've never
We're wandering.
Next story, Steve.
All right.
I've heard that, but no.
I'm trying.
We don't sing it at our family gathering.
I am trying to get us back to the stories.
Go, Steve.
So the pollsters were out at the National Conservative Student Conference this last week in Washington, D.C., event hosted by the Young Americas Foundation, and they started doing some polling. These are young Americans that decide to go. They're activists. They're engaged.
And they're conservative.
But they found that instead of, like most Republicans, a general look at Republicans, 77% of them are really worried about the economy and inflation and those kind of things. These are the issues that the activists, those engaged young American conservatives, are interested in: education, abortion, identity politics, the Second Amendment, transgenderism, all of the culture stuff, the stuff that we hear take seriously and really try to bring to light, they're paying attention to.
And they are, and this is from a conservative perspective, so
that's
these
correct.
Aren't woke conservative young people.
No, these are conservatives who think that you shouldn't be
putting boys I'm happy that they care teams. About these issues.
Yeah.
And now obviously the economy is very important too, but it's just refreshing to understand that young people who are conservative also care very deeply about these cultural issues.
Yeah.
From a conservative perspective.
I tell you, all over the place, you're seeing the pushback against woke.
Yeah.
I'm doing a three-part series. I'm in the middle of trying to put it together for American Family News called The War on Woke, looking at the pushback or potential pushbacks with regard to the gender issues, which we're seeing, with regard to climate change, which we have yet to see, and race. The other is racial issues. Those are the three areas that woke is really pushing right now, and we're trying to figure out how to do.
This is a good news story that young people. And I will say this: that when the Tea Party movement started in 2008 through 2010 thereabouts, I remember going to a major Tea Party conference. I covered it for our magazine at the time, AFA Journal, now called The Stand magazine. But I went and covered that for AFA, and there were probably half of the Tea Party groups, when I interviewed their leaders, they did not want to talk about cultural issues. They were solely locked into the economic future of the country. This was at the time of Obamacare and so on and so forth, and they did not want to talk about those kinds of issues. So this is refreshing to know that there is a substantial proportion of conservative young people who care about the economy but also these other issues.
Yeah.
Good on them.
All right. I want to draw your attention to a legal case that's going on now. It's being brought by the Advocates for Faith and Freedom, and it's regarding a church in Santa Clara, California. And the name of the church is Calvary Chapel San Jose. San Jose and Santa Clara are immediately neighbors. And during the COVID pandemic, this was a church that kind of refused to shut down. And it was one of those John MacArthur-type churches that said, we're not doing this. And the city of Santa Clara just kept piling up fines, up to $1.2 million in fines that they still owe because they haven't been forgiven those fines, even though the COVID pandemic is over. Well, the county of Santa Clara used what's called geofencing during the COVID pandemic. They said that they were researching super spreader events, but they used it to track the members of this church to see if they were coming to church or not. Using the geofencing is when you use cell phone data to find out where somebody was at any given time. So they'd go 11 o'clock on Sunday morning or 10:30 on Sunday morning. Where are the people that are members of this church? We can track the people. They were here last year. This is where they went. This is where they're coming back. And so they used that, but they are still using it now. It is being alleged by this group, the Advocates for Faith and Freedom, that they're still using this geofencing, this tracking of cell phone data, to collect the $1.2 million fines to see where people are going and how they're using their property and the whole bit. It's kind of dangerous stuff, I think.
I don't know how we're going to put the genie back in the bottle in terms of protecting our constitutional rights.
I'll tell you how you move out of California. That's how you start.
Well,
I mean, Well, let me rephrase that. A lot of great people in California, a lot of conservatives in California.
Right.
They're just in such a minority that the liberals just dominate them from a statewide government perspective.
Yeah, but I was talking more about big social. See, the telephone companies and social media companies have to be willing to cooperate with those liberal governments because this is what happened after January 6th. Remember, the Department of Justice wanted the phone records for all the people who were there in D.C. around the Capitol, and that's how they proceeded. And I want to know why big social and the telephone companies give that stuff
up. That's illegal. In my opinion, it's equivalent to you need a search warrant.
That's right. What I think.
Okay, you need approval by the judge, to go out and monitor somebody's private telephone.
If these telephone companies voluntarily give it up, see, what they would need to do is to say, where's your search warrant? A judge
has
to.
Yes, otherwise I'd just sue them. They had a class action lawsuit right there by members of that church. I don't know why they're doing that. Why don't they just drive by?
Right. Well, here's what they're doing. The city of Santa Clara is saying that they're using this data for research. During the pandemic, they wanted to research what events would be called super spreader events. If this many people get together at this spot, what does it do to the COVID rate? And so they're using it for research. When you're doing that, you're getting the data. You don't have to have a...
That's why people moving out of California. By the million.
Well, it's just that the government continues to spy on its own citizens, and big social and the phone companies are all in. And I like your idea but there have to be laws that supersede the user agreements that we all make that none of us read when it says, "Do you agree?" We say you have to check the box. There need to be laws that protect us. Regardless of what user agreements we sign on for, so that you can sue. If Verizon gives that information up without a search warrant, they should be sued.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a law that makes it illegal.
Last story, Steve.
Well, we just got a minute or two. I don't want to necessarily get into the heavy stuff. So why don't we look at some headlines that are going on today? These are all exactly true headlines because they're in the Babylon Bee, just so you know. Do you know that they have looked and theologians now believe that heaven is divided into two sides? There's a traditional worship side and a contemporary worship side of heaven.
What's contemporary? What's contemporary in a timeless place?
That's true. Or traditional, for that matter.
That's actually kind of deep there.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for.
All that means is they got a drummer.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's my reputation.
The other thing that's good to know is that, I don't know if you knew this, but I know you mentioned that the Biden family has finally acknowledged their seventh grandchild.
Yes.
Well, what you don't know is that Hunter Biden was optioned out to the minor leagues to make room for the seventh grandchild on the family roster.
That's a stretch. Usually they're pretty funny. That's a stretch.
That's a Monday morning joke.
Because it references something we haven't covered and probably won't cover. So, I'll be offline.
Unfortunately, there's the music,
there
Steve.
It is.
All right. We are, for better or for worse, people, we're out of time.
Hey, but it is time. You can still go to your local Chinese restaurant and get some General Tso's chicken.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you, folks, for listening. Appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ed, thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Chris Woodward and Brent Creeley, our producer. And there were no other guests or guest hosts.
We were guestless.
Yes, we were. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. We shall see you back here tomorrow.